It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. We now know the details of Tim Tebow's contract with the Jags. At 2:30, why do May 21st and 22nd matter? The birthday of a guy who blocked me on Twitter for some strange reason. And in mere minutes, Texas baseball is back to 100% capacity, and a Longhorn football recruit made a strange business decision about his upcoming senior season in high school. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hope you're having a great Friday. Hope you have a good weekend plan. There's a lot of stuff going on, and if you are a fan of the Longhorns, and specifically the Longhorn spring sports, man, is there a run going on right now. You got baseball. They did miss an opportunity last night, but of course they're one of the best teams in the conference, looking for a nice high seed in that tournament. Softball gets their start tomorrow with the regional. And then earlier today, we told you that the women's tennis team is now into the final, and they are stomping their way to the final. They shut out NC State today, 4-0. The men's tennis team will play tonight at 6:30 in the Final Four, only the second time both tennis teams have gone to the Final Four in the same year. Men taking on number one Florida. The Gators are the best team in the country right now, but they will play that tonight and see what happens. That's stuff on the tennis channel if you want to check it out. Also, the women will be on the tennis channel tomorrow, I believe it is, for the championship game. So check that. Or maybe, I'm sorry, maybe it's next Thursday for the championship game. They're going to give them a little time. So all that going on, and a lot of good performances for the Texas teams. Track and field just grabbed the Big 12 title, and they'll try to get a national titles as well coming up. So we've been talking Longhorn stuff. We'll get into some of the great news, the biggest piece of good news on campus here in a second. But once again, we throw out our happy birthdays today to Ricky Williams and Mr. T. So if you have your other Ricky Williams moments, the A&M game was cool. If you really want to dig into the A&M game, we can. We were both there, right? You were there live.
Yes, I was sitting in the north end zone.
Hell of a moment. Energy in the building was crazy that day. And it was also weird because that game felt a little different. It would have felt different, I should say, if it had been a blowout. That game ended up weirdly close.
Yeah.
One of those strange Mack Brown coach team moments that we would see more of, where you're like, why is this game close?
Well, you can kind of understand it with the rivalry game.
Yeah, the rivals, it can get there.
Kind of. But that was the year that A&M was not very good, and it felt like Texas could blow them out, but they just didn't.
Yeah, and I think if I look, that was actually, I think A&M was number 6 in the country coming in.
Oh, were they?
I think that's right.
Wow, for some reason I was thinking A&M was not very good.
I think they were highly ranked, but to me they weren't that great an A&M team, you know, in 98. But that run obviously stands out to a lot of people, and it's a great example of Ricky. What I always, my favorite thing about him, if I was a Longhorn fan and he was my guy, my favorite thing about him football-wise is nobody ever seemed to drag him down inside the five.
No.
I just love that about him, Trey. He's on a full run. Guys could be hanging off of him. Guys could be about to hit him. That play is an example. Keep the balance. Somehow, that body lean, the balance, the strength, and he got himself into the end zone. So we've been talking Ricky today. If you want to throw in some Ricky stuff, we will continue to do that. And your best sports movie bad guys. Because it is Clubber Lang's birthday, Mr. T celebrates number 69 today. So give us your best bad guys from sports movies.
Great topics to consider. How about this one as well? If you have some thoughts, please do share 337-3776. I am taking my 4-year-old son Calvin to what is really our first baseball game. Great chance for father and son to bond. And there's certain things that I am looking forward to exposing my son to this game. Like, I don't know if they even offer this up at the dish, but if they offer up the mini helmet that you can get ice cream in.
Oh, you gotta do that.
I want him to have one of those things.
Sure.
Is there anything else I need to make sure that he gets to do as part of his first ever baseball game experience? Like go down to a dugout and get a high five from one of the guys or something?
I would think about being the age that he is, yeah, if you could do some kind of interaction with a player, something like, yeah, maybe, yeah, kind of go down. If you guys get there early, batting practice time or whatever, that would be an interesting idea. Food-wise, like, does he like peanuts? Because peanuts at the ballpark is a big one.
He doesn't eat a ton of peanuts. I mean, yeah, he likes nuts okay.
I think is okay. Here, this would be perfect for you. All right. Yeah, you might want to rephrase. Mm. If you say that again, rephrase that in a podcast. Can we redo that one maybe?
Sure.
Okay, so this is perfect for you and your son because you are a stickler for food and you want to make sure they're eating well and you only give them certain treats at certain times. So in this case, is there something they serve at the ballpark that Calvin would love to eat where it's him and his dad, y'all are eating it, and he knows that his mom might not approve, but you're going to say, hey, we're at the ballpark, son.
No, it's dad who doesn't approve of most
of
these things. But he's a big fan of the hot dog.
Okay.
So maybe we just keep it as simple as hot dog.
There you go.
Maybe if you want some nachos.
Does he drink
the mini helmet full of ice cream?
You let him have soda or not?
No, he's never had a soda before. That's not happening tonight.
Okay. But the hot dog sounds like a good path.
Like, I'm going to the co-op after this to make sure he has a UT baseball hat.
There you go.
And if they sell one of those little cheapy, almost plastic gloves, I'll get him one of those too so that he can be hanging on to a glove while he's at his first baseball game.
Now, his head's probably not big enough to get like a hard baseball hat, right? Like if they sell those. Do they sell like wearable Texas hard hats?
I'm sure they helmets? Do, but I'd rather him just have a regular baseball hat.
Because if I could have had one of those as a kid of my college team, oh my God, that'd have been awesome.
Yes, but I also don't want to send him down the John Olrude road if we don't have to.
You mean the road of safety and being a good player?
Well, John Olrude did that because didn't he have like brain surgery or something that required him to...
It was an injury or surgery or something.
...maintain
yeah,
extra protection for his head. He needs to know that the regular hat is what you wear in a social situation like that.
Somebody says you need to stand at the stainless steel urinal with 50 other men. Get that experience.
No, we're not doing the horse trough thing unless we absolutely have to. Hopefully the dish is a little bit more refined than Wrigley Field is, though.
Funnel cake?
We could do a funnel cake.
Cracker Jack?
Cracker Jacks are a possibility.
Somebody says give him his first beer. What about his first Coors Light? Is it time for his first Coors Light?
Oh, hell, let's just visit our first whorehouse while we're at it, guys.
Maybe not that.
Get him his first prostitute.
Oh, now, if you want to see him go crazy and run around the ballpark, cotton candy? Has he ever had cotton candy at four?
I don't think he's ever had cotton candy before.
Dude, if you stay for the whole game, give him a little cotton candy in the ninth. He'll clean up the whole ballpark.
We are probably not staying all nine innings because Dad by himself normally doesn't stick around for nine innings.
You're a beat the traffic guy.
I am a seventh inning stretch is seventh inning time to go.
This says, do they still let the kids run the bases after the game? Oh,
that's a good question. He's going to be a little bit too young for that one.
Yeah.
If it was a day game, maybe we consider it. But I'm not trying to keep him up until 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and somebody does remind Chris Bennett. Look at this. Chris Bennett reminding us of the Aggies actually being good. Yeah, I remember 98 was the year A&M won the championship.
My apologies.
And beat,
A&M was good that year.
That's when they beat K-State.
And Texas beat them.
Yes, Texas beat them. So I think it was number six they were coming in. The fact that it was a close game and that was not any kind of embarrassing Aggie team, maybe that just kind of raises up the profile of that Ricky performance a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That was a hell of a day for Ricky and the Longhorns, obviously. Tony Dorsett was there because he broke Tony's. Tony's record stood forever. And the only negative for Ricky that he couldn't control is that Ron Dayne broke his record so fast. I wish Ricky could have held that a little longer. I always hated that for Ricky.
Fat ass Ron Dayne.
Right?
I'm still bitter at him for that.
That's not good.
He did not deserve that record.
I did not like that. Okay, so if you're just jumping in, big story yesterday was 100% capacity at UT outdoor events. That's why, it's not why Trey and his son are going to the baseball game, but they are going to the baseball game, and you can too, and 100% capacity can happen. Also, Trey just saw a story out of the NBA. The Mavericks have announced that they're going to try to get darn close to capacity, if not capacity, for their games coming up with the Clippers. They start in L.A. tomorrow afternoon, but that's great news, Trey. Love that.
Yes, it is. And when Mark Cuban is making a decision like that, you know that the tide has really started to turn on all of this.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, here's this one I thought you'd like too. NBA. The Knicks are about to start their series with Atlanta, I believe it is, when they start. They have started to sell the tickets for the games at MSG. 15,000 a game is what they're making available.
The Knicks have.
Yes.
Wow. That's happening in New York. That's an even better sign,
right,
of where we're headed.
That's what we've been talking about. Yes, the South is important. Certainly, we live there. But the Eastern Seaboard and the Midwest and the West are really important in terms of getting back to normal. So that was great news. Loved hearing that. What I know Longhorn fans did not love hearing about is this other story we've hit today. Jaden Blue, the running back recruit and commitment to Texas, verbal commitment in the 22 class, has decided to opt out of his 2021 senior season. So, Trey, again, it's not a story I've heard before. Talked to Dustin McComas of Orange Bloods. He said he hadn't heard of it, and he's been covering recruiting a long time. And it does, you know, there could be weird circumstances, and there could be strange things going on. Apparently, he and the coaches don't get along on certain things. I guess the big hope here is, if he is truly opting out, I guess that would mean he's not going to be able to play for that team, or a bridge has been crossed, burned, or whatever. So I guess the idea is that he's going to transfer. Can't believe I'm saying this about a high school player, but what do you do? You got to move the family into another district now and find him a school for.
Some are suggesting that he is going to try and find another school, and some believe that he may just choose to sit out this year to avoid adding 200 more carries to his body of work so far. And this is a guy who has touched the ball more than 200 times in his sophomore and junior years, so there is some thought, and I'm getting into it with Jermaine on Twitter right now, who says, look, there's nothing wrong with this kid deciding to opt out in the season. He's received so many touches over the last 2 years, and he wants to save himself for college. Maybe, but this could also be a sort of red flag that shows that this kid is maybe inclined to making really poor decisions, that shows that he's not truly committed to the sport and or the team. And I think either of those things are red flags enough that for Steve Sarkisian and his staff, you have to reconsider taking a single guy at a position as important as running back, or maybe they take a second guy in the class of 2022 at running back, that scholarship means so much that you have to consider other options at that point.
I'll apologize for not having any rankings pulled up. Is he a five-star? I'm assuming.
I believe so, yeah.
Like, the question of just, is he that good, comes into my mind if I'm Steve Sarkisian and I'm that coaching staff. They would know better than I would. Is he worth that? Is he worth the idea of, oh, yeah, no, he could sit. I mean, he could sit for a whole year and build up all that rust, and we could knock it off no problem in his freshman year.
Who's to say that he decides to play his final year of college eligibility versus sitting that season out to get himself ready for the NFL? I mean, you are signing guys up that you want to at least give you a solid 2 to 3 years before they make a decision to go pro. Not a guy that believes he's so good after a first or second true year of actually getting playing time that he just says screw the team at that point and focuses on getting himself ready for the NFL draft for an entire year.
Yes, man, this is a tough one, because I'm all over the years we've learned to respect the ideas of a Robert Smith, let's say, that kind of story, Barry Sanders at the end of his career, Calvin Johnson at the end of his career. Well, those are just Detroit Lions who didn't want to play in Detroit. But you know what I mean, where guys start to really look at the physicality, the toll it takes, but we've just never seen it at this level, at a senior in high school. If that's really the argument if he's making the argument that the game might be too rough overall, well then okay, well then stop playing.
Right.
But he's not. He's still talking NFL. Theoretically, he's still going to play in college. So it's a tough balancing act, because in the real world, yeah, you've got to respect the idea of, oh yeah, it's really dangerous. Okay, right. But he's been willing to do it all this time.
Yeah.
And then you've got the stories about his relationships. And it's deep down, he knows the reason why he's not playing football his senior year. And whatever that reason is, it is at least worthy of a light bulb to go on at UT of, hey, man, we got to pay attention to this story, because something doesn't quite feel right here one way or the other.
And this guy is certainly entitled to handle the situation like he wants to. But at the same time, you have to understand that if you've put the work in to get yourself an opportunity, like a football scholarship to play at UT, and the new coaching staff that's in, and how they plan on utilizing the running back position, and the potential for education at this school as well, that once you get that opportunity, it's only time to work harder, Chad. And this can be perceived, and it is by me and plenty of other people, that, yeah, there may be a certain work that you're putting into it over the next however many months until you set foot on campus for the first time. If he's an early enrollee, great. But at the same time, you are opting out of an entire season to do so. And I think that speaks against this idea that he's doing everything in his power to be the best version of himself on and off the field.
Here's a weird question, but when you verbally commit, clearly there's a signing day, and I get that. When you verbally commit to a school, there's nothing truly written down, correct?
Oh, it happens all the time where one side or the other starts giving the cold shoulder, or perhaps a bit of a ghosting happens that ultimately forces the hand of the other side. And usually in a situation like this, if Texas didn't want him as much, they would just stop checking in nearly as much. And he would, and a lot of these kids kind of get the hint after a while that they may be better off going someplace else. And that's not what Texas is doing right now, by the way.
No. Yeah.
I'm saying that if he truly chooses to opt out of this next season, does not find a new high school home, or does not mend relationships with the coaching staff at Klein Kane, then I don't blame the Texas coaches for looking elsewhere for a running back recruit for next year's class.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to play out. Because there's nothing, where I was headed was, there's nothing specific about a verbal commitment that requires the kid to play his senior year.
No.
If you commit after your junior year, there's nothing specific that's written down where somebody's making you play your senior year. It's just that, it's like Dustin McComas said it earlier, you just assume they want to play it. You get one chance to have a senior year in high school. I feel so bad for all these kids, Trey, that lost that year because of COVID-19 or had a different version of it because of COVID-19. Your graduation and your prom and your last year of football was totally changed, and I think that sucks because you don't get to redo that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a part of it, too. Hopefully he's got people around him that'll say, look, if it can't be those coaches, okay, but we've got to find you a place to play. You cannot just sit and not be, if this is what you are, if you're a football player, we got to have a senior year. Like, you're going to regret this if you throw it away now.
I hope for the kid's sake that he finds a new home. If he is that unsatisfied, if he's that dissatisfied at Klein Kane, that he finds someplace else that he can play, even if it's at a reduced capacity versus being the bell cow for his former high school team.
The only bad news is, from what I know about that area, there's not a lot of high schools nearby. That's the only part that's actually, no, wait a minute. There's 50 within 100 yards. Never mind. He's in an area with a few high schools.
Yeah, it's just like that Katy area where you've got the Katys and the Cinco Ranches and all sorts of other high schools built up now.
All right, let's just be realistic here because we know what happens under the table. What kind of recruiting are we about to be talking about here in the Houston area? Like, what goes into that? This is unprecedented stuff. A guy that's this good is deciding he's opting out? If you're in that Klein school district, if you're in the nearby school, what do you do? Are you calling up realtors? Are you trying to, can we get him into that house? Can we get him into this neighborhood? Can we get him this job?
I don't know how that works. Like, Whoa. Is the private option more feasible than the public option?
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way, but maybe.
Like straight Jesuit? Which I think plays high caliber competition.
They do.
And they offer him a scholarship. Say, come play for us.
It's a respected name. I wonder what's about to happen. Mm. Yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. And by the way, for the record, when he puts it out on Twitter that he is going to sit out a season and thanks everybody he thanked and said he's, you know, moving on or whatever it's going to be, he's got like 7,500 followers on Twitter. So that's kind of the level where he is right now. It's a crazy thought to be a senior in high school, and you got 7,500 people, some that you've never even met, that are, you know, living on every word and ready to, you know, comment on your thoughts. But he did put that out earlier today, and man, best of luck to the kid finding out what he wants to do. Hopefully he figures out what's best for him, and I guarantee there's some schools making calls today trying to figure it out.
I mean, that's the bottom line. Regardless of what happens to him with Texas, I hope the kid is able to figure it out. Because I don't think the way that he is currently handling it is the right way to go. And again, he is certainly entitled to handle this how he wants to, but I feel like this is a sort of decision that 95% of people, it's probably a higher number than that, will ultimately regret 5-10 years down the road.
And that is Jaden Blue, again, the running back from Klein Kane, a member of the Longhorns 2022 class. A really bizarre situation there for Coach Sarkisian and his crew to take a look at. We'll see where that one goes. Up next, we will go right to May 21st. Couple birthdays creating questions for us today, including who the best sports movie bad guys are of all time. It is Clubber Lang's birthday, so we're talking bad guys in sports movies. Oh, a lot have been mentioned, from Johnny Lawrence to Shooter McGavin. Who are your favorites? We will hit that coming up on The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Trey's got some new music for you today. What do we got, Trey?
This is Japanese Breakfast, Savage Good Boy.
Japanese Breakfast?
Yep.
All right. I wonder if they're from Japan.
I don't believe so.
Japanese Breakfast, okay. Back in the day, there were a couple of metal bands from Japan, a couple good ones.
Okay.
Yeah, we had Loudness first, and then, what was that other one? Oh, Ezio, both those bands. And a little run, a couple good albums.
Never heard of either.
We were into. No, it was more of a second or third level. I mean, that was definitely not like a Billboard Top 100 kind of a thing. That was one of those like, hey, did you hear about that Japanese band Gene Simmons discovered? Stuff like that. Gene Simmons only discovered one band that everybody's heard of, and that's Van Halen. Everybody else.
Did they?
Yeah, he gets some credit for the beginning of the push of Van Halen. But after that, I don't know that he gets, I don't know that anybody remembers Loudness other than me. All right, so we are rolling through a Friday. If you missed the big story in golf, Phil Mickelson started to write it earlier today. He throws a 69 out on that golf course. He's at -5. But check this out. The guy at -4 right now, you might know his name too. Louis Oosthuizen is in the process of throwing out a -3 round for the day, and he's at -4 for the tournament.
Shoot, he's only through 6, too.
If we get through this day and Phil and Oosthuizen are on top, I'm going to think I'm in a time warp.
Yeah.
And Oosthuizen's a great example of you do not have to be Bryson DeChambeau or Dustin Johnson to play golf.
Right.
Oosthuizen's never been a bomber. He's just a really good golfer, and that could be interesting. I think Louis got a major somewhere along the line if I looked up his resume, but really good golfer there from South Africa and a name people know. So those are two names to pay attention to. No other real massive names have Kepka fell off. He's back to -2. He's shooting a +1 round today.
2 through 5.
The wind is killing him today, Trey.
Yeah, DeChambeau, I know you're going to be shocked by this, just flew a green on a par 3.
Dude, yeah, it's got to be, got to find a little more precision than he's going to have right now. But he is at -1, so it's not that far off the lead, only 4 shots back. And the great thing about Bryson, he is such a fighter. Bryson DeChambeau never lets bad shots get him truly taken out of a tournament. He is always trying to fight and stay in, so we'll see if he can do that. We'll keep you up to date on the PGA maybe one more time before we get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, though, let's tell them why May 21st matters. We're talking villains today. Here we go.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All righty. May 21st, birthdays on the board, and Mr. T and Ricky Williams are our big focuses today. Mr. T played Clubber Lang, so we're talking about your favorite villains in a sports movie. I got one for you, Trey. Have you seen The Blind Side? With Sandra Bullock, Michael Orr story?
Who's the bad guy in that one? Nick Saban?
No. Overall, I guess there's technically not, it's sort of the, in a way, parts of society are the bad guy. In a way, racism is the bad guy. But there's a scene where Michael Orr he sort of blossoms as an offensive lineman, and they set him up opposite of there's a redneck-ish player on the field.
Okay.
He's white. He's saying rude things. And his dad is in the stands saying specifically racist things. So at that moment, they're both kind of the villains. So that father-son duo kind of fits the bill of some of the better sports villains in a movie.
Who's the bad guy in Moneyball?
I've never seen Moneyball.
It's the Billy Bean story.
Right, that's the Yankees, I'm assuming? Never seen it, but they're always the bad guy?
Not stats. People who judge players based on not stats.
So feel is the bad guy?
Yeah, feel is the intuition is the bad guy.
That's right. Your gut is the bad guy in Moneyball. Best sports movie bad guy, Shooter McGavin has been mentioned. And what's his name? What's Bill Murray's name in Kingpin? McCracken? McCrarin?
Big Ernie McCracken, yeah.
Big Ernie McCracken and that hair has been mentioned.
Bad guy in A League of Their Own. Who is it?
The bad guy in A League of Their Own. I mean, John Lovitz isn't a bad guy in there.
Is it crying? Shedding tears? Is that the bad guy in that movie?
World War II? Is World War II the bad guy? Because World War II kind of creates some problems.
Maybe.
That might be it. Now, some would tell you that it's either Dottie or it's Kit. There's a big discussion. There's a big discussion in my house when we watch that movie about who's Team Dottie and who's Team Kit. Which sister do you... So maybe one of those, but you like them both. Like, you don't want either one of them to fail. So I don't know that there is a true bad guy in that movie. That's one of my favorite baseball movies, though.
Bad guy in Rudy.
The bad guy...
This is going to surprise some people.
The bad guy in Rudy. Wow. Is it the coach?
No.
No.
Bad guy in Rudy is Rudy.
Is Rudy. Oh, yeah. Well, he does break... He commits breaking and entering. I mean...
Well, realize you that. Also... Consider what the actual story was and the type of person that Rudy turned into after that moment.
Yeah, that was...
That's a long play.
That did take a while. There's a long developing character there for Rudy. So let us know some of your favorite villains in sports movies. Kennesaw Mountain Landis in 8 Men Out. Now that's deep.
Ooh.
I like that one.
Who's the bad guy in White Men Can't Jump?
Gravity? No, I don't know. I've never seen White Man Can't Jump. Is it good enough to watch? Should
what
we do that?
What the hell?
Should we movie review that one?
Gosh darn it. I really wanted to watch Seven Psychopaths this next week. We may have to do White Man Can't Jump, though.
I've never seen the movie.
All right. White Man Can't Jump it is next
week. All right. All three of those people I like, by the way. I'm a fan of Woody. I'm a fan of, I was about to say Denzel. Fan of Snipes and a fan of Rosie. Her voice does not annoy me like some people.
Oh, you get a version of Rosie in this one.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right. Have to check that out. All right, there you go. I just affected our movie for next week. So let us know what you think there. Also, a big happy birthday to Ricky Williams, 44 years old. Obviously, one of those guys that Texas fans are just so proud of, and he is a statue guy for a reason. Good detail on the statue. I enjoy standing near that statue and looking at all the cool detail they did on that. But
he looks, maybe this is why Ricky blocked me, because I've said this on the air before. That statue looks like a monster. That does not look like Ricky Williams.
Oh, you don't think it looks like, that may be
not,
why he.
Not close enough,
that may be why he blocked you.
I mean, I feel like our ability to create statues that look like the individual is better than the effort. Apologies if the artist is listening right now, but the effort that the artist who put together the Ricky Williams statue put into it.
So if somebody's listening right now that is like me and they are not a Longhorn fan, if you're an Aggie like me or maybe you're a Sooner fan or whatever, tell me if I'm right on this. I think Ricky Williams is also one of the Longhorns that other fan bases respect. I think Vince is in that category. Obviously, Earl Campbell's in that category. I think Ricky got people's respect when he played.
Maybe.
Where if you're rooting for the other team, you're rooting for the other team, but you respected what he was. Let me know if I'm right about that. But also, Trey, what I will always remember about Ricky, I had a chance to be near Ricky in a way other people might not have been. I started out in 97, and I'm an intern, and I'm just trying to learn the business. The first athlete that came into the studio to do an interview was Ricky Williams.
Really?
Yeah. And it was when, I think it was like John Bianco and UT brought him in, because he was obviously, at that point, he had his run going, and I think they had a sense for, if he did come back in 98, what it would mean.
Right.
And what he could go after. The one thing that will always stand out to me is just how much Ricky Williams didn't get why he was a big deal. And I love that about him.
Mm.
This humility to him. The way he looked, I guess back to when Kevin and I were coming in as interns. The way he looked at Kevin Dunn was interesting to me. He looked at Kevin Dunn like he was a peer. He looked at Kevin Dunn like he was just a guy. And he looked at Kevin Dunn, Ricky did, like Ricky was just a guy. He didn't look down at Kevin or me or Bill Schoening or Craig Way. He just kind of had this great measured approach to everything.
Right.
And I remember off the air asking him questions of, because, you know, in that point, I'm just in charge of, hey, man, are you good? Can I get you a glass of water?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of stuff. And just respectful. I just remember that about him. He didn't feel like a star. And then I'd watch him play, and I'm like, dude, you play so good, you could be as big of an a-hole as you want. But he wasn't. He was just a sweet guy.
Bucky has talked a lot about that, obviously. But I think also the social anxiety probably came into play just a little bit. Where
That's
he was
true.
Maybe uncomfortable in the limelight. So his way to deal with that was to shrink up just a bit.
Yeah.
And treat other people like the human beings that they are, which ultimately you hope anybody, regardless of their position, is able to do that. I mean, some of the all-time greats become all-time greats because they are so capable of doing that. Ernie Banks is always going to be the prime example for me. He is Mr. Cub for a reason, not just because of the great things he did on the field, but because of how he represented himself in the city of Chicago off the field long after his playing career was over with. And that included always asking anybody who came up to him questions about them, making it seem like, even if he didn't, making it seem like he actually cared to learn a little bit about that person who revered him so much.
Yeah, really good heart. That's an interesting point you made about the social anxiety disorder. I remember discussing that with people, and Kevin in particular, when we saw the thing with him interviewing in the helmet with the Saints. A lot of people saw that and immediately made fun of Ricky. And those of us that had been around him, we went right to that. Oh, wow. And then we went back to our time with him at Texas, and it's like, oh, yeah, that sort of makes sense that he was a little freaked out by the moment and freaked out by this situation, that situation. But always a sweet guy when I was around him, and certainly was not sweet to folks on the field that were trying to tackle him.
Even that 60-yard touchdown run that he had against A&M that broke the record, I mean, he straight ran through. It was either a safety or linebacker that he ran straight through when he got to that second level.
I want to say Dat Wynn had to eat part of that run. I mean, that's A&M's all-time leading tackler, if I'm not mistaken. I think Dat is still that. Dat Wynn was a badass in college. And again, that 98 A&M team, Chris Bennett, thank you for reminding us, they win the Big 12 title. They were like top 10 going into that game. That offense wasn't dazzling for the Aggies, I will tell you that for sure. But like a lot of those teams in the R.C. Slocum era, the defense could play. And I think Dat Wynn had to consume part of that run when Ricky took off.
Trying to find it right now. I'm pretty close to that moment.
All right. You can check it out.
Come on.
It's going to be one, obviously, a lot of people remember the run against A&M in 98. Remember when those two teams used to play football, Trey? Remember that?
It was not Dat Wynn who had to eat a little bit of that run. It was a safety who came up and kind of bounced to the outside and then tried to come back, and Ricky just ran straight through him.
That makes me feel better that it wasn't Dat Wynn. Yeah. I always thought Dat might have been a little part of that. So Ricky Williams' birthday today, and happy birthday to Ricky. Also, on the musical side of things, we had not mentioned this today, but we are music snobs around here, and certainly this is one of the greatest and one that should have been around a lot longer. The Notorious B.I.G. would have been 49. Think about that. He wouldn't have even turned 50 if he was still alive. He got killed at 24.
Yeah, that's a shame, obviously. How long do we think Notorious B.I.G. would have lived had he not been shot?
There were
going to be some early health issues for him that he was carrying.
There was going to be some health stuff there. There was going to be some... You know, I'm trying to think of other musicians. There was going to be some Luther Vandross. There was going to be some
apnea issues.
Was it Ruben Studdard? Was that his name from American Idol early days?
Sure.
Big, big, heavy guy. There were going to be some issues there, but I'll say he'd have made it to 50.
Okay.
I'll say he'd have made it there. The question would have been, what would the music have been like now? Would he have still been performing? How would he have molded and changed and evolved if he and Tupac had lived? How would the careers have played out? And then where would they have gone? We've watched Jay-Z and Ice-T and Dr. Dre and these guys go into the business world and try to find their own little niche. I wonder what those guys would have done.
I think in their 30s, they would have figured out that a lot of their beef was pretty petty.
I would hope so.
And they would have put it all past them, come together for an excellent collaboration album.
Now, that would have been really good.
Yeah.
Maybe a tour.
Kick Puffy to the curb. Yeah.
That's
well,
an old
Puffy's probably the one who perpetuates it.
Yeah, that should be that ultimate lesson for those two guys. Like, you know, you can love music and love it all your life. That's fine. But, man, when you let the art go into life to that degree and you get that bothered by little things and then you start killing people over it, yeah, you've gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly you've gone too far. We got to pull back off of that. It is a shame that that world had to literally have that example. It is such a shame that it had to happen that way. Rest in peace to the Notorious B.I.G. Would have been 49 today. Also on the music side, tomorrow, the great songwriter Bernie Taupin will turn 71 years old. All that Elton John stuff you love. Chances are, 9 times out of 10, it's Bernie Taupin's words that you love. So be sure to give Bernie his love tomorrow. Before we get out of here, stems and seeds. The NBA got another playoff team in last night. We're all set. We know who's in. Wait, one more spot to fill. That's right. One more play-in game tonight. Sets you up for the Mavericks as well. Plus, we'll reiterate the big stories of the day and set you up for Texas baseball once again going up against West Virginia. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Just about to wrap it up on a Friday. What do you got, Trey?
Green Day, Pollyanna, Chad.
Ah, new Green Day. You got a full album out of those guys this time?
I don't know. I'm seeing the album name is also Pollyanna, which sometimes means just a single. Sometimes it means the single is the name of the album, too.
Hopefully Green Day will get back out there pretty soon. Lots of concerts being planned. My wife was both equally excited to see that Stevie Nicks was a part of ACL and disappointed to hear that the tickets sold out in like 12 seconds. She was really upset by that. So I'm not sure if she's going to be checking out Stevie Nicks at ACL or not, but she is a part of it, and you can check out those tickets right now. We were talking about that yesterday. Here's a little tribute to sort of the greatness of Ricky Williams. I was asking about people that don't root for the Longhorns and your thoughts about Ricky. Somebody texted in, I got two older brothers. One went to Ole Miss and the other went to TCU. Both respected the hell out of Ricky. They would watch UT games over their own teams just to watch Ricky. There you go. That's a interesting way to say it.
Yeah, and as far as the conversation from a little bit earlier where we're talking about the kid who is opting out of his senior year in high school, he is currently committed to the Longhorns, one of the top running backs in the entire country for the class of 2022. Somebody misinterpreted what I said about this guy skipping his senior season to go pro if he ends up at UT. That's not what I said, dummy. What I said is somebody who sets this precedent could truly decide to sit out his last year at Texas, literally sit out that last season to focus on going pro. That is sitting out his redshirt sophomore or his true junior season to focus on going to the NFL. You want somebody who's a bit more committed than that. I'm sorry, you just do. That is a red flag if this kid ends up sitting out his senior high school season altogether. It is a red flag. And you have a bit of a loser's mentality if you don't see it that way.
One of the questions I wonder throughout the draft, and maybe we'll find this out from guys like Micah Parsons and Jamar Chase and some of these others, I wonder how much they were asked about it during the draft process. Guys that sat out, even if it was because of COVID or whatever the reason was, but there's this thing, a stigma in football, Trey, if they sense that you don't love football. We just saw it with that Trevor Lawrence interview. Remember that story? From just a few weeks ago, well, I don't know if Trevor loves it enough. Trevor's saying it might not be the most important thing in his life. Trevor, I mean, you know, it's just there's a certain balance that you have to strike with these football teams. And I've just never had to think of it in terms of high school to college. It's just always been college to the pros. So Jaden Blue might be starting a whole new discussion. And I'm not sure if football's ready for it.
I'm not even questioning a love for football. I'm just questioning overall decision making and his commitment which you do need to be committed to your team, even if you're still all about yourself. There still has to be some level of commitment to the team that comes into play, too.
And maybe he needs to find a new team now. We'll see if he does somewhere in that Houston area. Jaden Blue, again, the running back from Klein Kane, has announced on Twitter that he is going to opt out of his senior year. Still a verbal commitment to Texas for 22. All right, let's go. Do we go Stems and Seeds already? No, let's go Stems and Seeds.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
There we go. Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. As far as tonight goes, we get our last team in for the NBA playoffs. It's Memphis and Golden State, 8 o'clock on ESPN. Steph Curry trying to get Golden State into the 8 seed. The winner of that one gets Utah. Congrats to Washington last night. 142-115. Russell Westbrook and the crew went crazy. That's exactly what I wanted out of that game. I did not want Indiana to win it. All due respect to the Pacers. I wanted Westbrook in the playoffs. 18-8-15 was his line. Trey, there just aren't many dudes that try every second as much as Russell Westbrook does. He's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, he is fun to watch for sure. He's in that Dame Lillard category. Hey, yep. Chad, we now know the details of Tim Tebow's contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He is on a one-year deal for $920,000, which is the veteran minimum, and none of that money is guaranteed. So for those wondering if he's getting a little bit of a sweetheart deal from Urban Meyer to try and come in and show that he can play tight end on that team, that even though they have bodies, they still have a dearth at the position. No, he really does have to prove himself
here. That sounds about right. That sounds like the way it needs to be. Again, at the PGA today, the story is Phil. Phil Mickelson shoots a 69 today. That gets him at minus five for the tournament, and he is still the leader at this point. Louis Oosthuizen is at -4. He's still on the course, just through 7 holes. He's working a -3 round today as well. So you could have a couple of the older guys up at the top of the PGA. That win is whipping, and youngsters like Bryson DeChambeau are out there trying to figure it out right now. But the lead sits at -5 with Phil. Interesting stuff. All right. Remember, Longhorn Baseball coming up at 6:30. 6:15, first pitch. Tristan Stevens takes the hill and tries to get a big win for the Longhorns. You'll hear that on the horn. Looks like the weather's going to hold off and let it happen. Keep your fingers crossed for the weekend that things stay good weather-wise. The triple option is coming up next with RBKD. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the PGA. And for all you gearheads, enjoy NASCAR out at COTA. And remember, we've got extra coverage for you Sunday from 12 to 1:30 with Rodney and Revved Up ATX. Have a good weekend. See ya!